Joe Biden is the first president in U.S. history to commemorate the Tulsa Massacre, when a white mob destroyed the thriving African-American community known as Black Wall Street, killing at least 300 people 100 years ago.
Smoke darkened the Tulsa sky, rising from 35 blocks of Greenwood that were left in ash and ember, raised in rubble. In less than 24 hours, 1,100 black homes and businesses were lost. Insurance companies, they had insurance, many of them, rejected claims of damage. 10,000 people were left destitute and homeless, placed in internment camps.
President Biden didn't apologize for the massacre. He didn't call for reparations, but he acknowledged the atrocity, saying he was bringing it to light.
Much too long, the history of what took place here was told in silence, cloaked in darkness. But just because history is silent, it doesn't mean that it did not take place. And while darkness can hide much, it erases nothing. It erases nothing. Some injustices are so heinous, so horrific, so grievous, they can't be buried, no matter how hard people try.
But he also warns that deep-seated racism persists today and can be seen in the actions like the Unite the Right rally in Charlottesville, North Carolina, that left one civil rights activist dead.
What happened in Greenwood was an act of hate and domestic terrorism with the through line that exists today still. Just close your eyes. Remember what you saw in Charlottesville 4 years ago on television. Neo-Nazis, white supremacists, the KKK, coming out of those fields at night, Virginia, with lighted torches.
Biden's visit to Tulsa, Oklahoma, was in stark contrast to former President Donald Trump, who once described the Charlottesville protesters as good people on all sides. Although Biden didn't take executive actions on voting rights or reparations, he did announce new measures to help narrow the wealth gap between blacks and whites by reinvesting in underserved communities and expanding access to home ownership.
My administration has launched an aggressive effort to combat racial discrimination in housing. That includes everything from redlining to the cruel fact that a home owned by a black family is too often appraised at lower value than a similar home owned by a white family.
The Biden administration is also setting a goal of increasing a share of federal contracts awarded to small disadvantaged businesses by 50% by the year 2026, funneling an estimated $100 billion to such businesses over a five-year period. Biden's also calling on Congress to pass voting rights legislation pending in the Senate, the For the People Act, and the John Lewis Voting Rights Act in the House. And he took a swing at his own party members for delays in passing the legislation, like Arizona's Kyrsten Sinema and West Virginia's Joe Manchin.
I hear all the folks on TV saying, why doesn't Biden get this done? Well, because Biden only has a majority of effectively four votes in the House and a tie in the Senate, with two members of the Senate who vote more with my Republican friends. But we're not giving up. Earlier this year, the House of Representatives passed For the People Act to protect our democracy. The Senate will take it up later this month, and I'm going to fight like heck with every tool at my disposal for its passage.
Since the November election, which saw a record voter turnout, more than 380 bills have been introduced across the country that would make it harder for Americans to vote. The John Lewis Voting Rights Act would make changes to voting restrictions more difficult, and the For the People Act would institute broader voting rights protections. To help propel the legislation through Congress, Biden appointed his vice president, Kamala Harris, to lead the charge in lobbying lawmakers to approve the bills. Harris, who is the nation's first African-American and woman vice president, was absent from the day's commemoration. But in a statement, she pledged to do the work of democracy. I'm Christina Onnestad, reporting for KPFA.